And the rest of us, if you will get your Bible, and let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 24 and verse 25 this morning. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and verse 25. If you want to get deep in the Word, and not that the other books in the New Testament are not deep, I don't want to give that impression this morning, but there are some things in the book of Hebrews that will thrill your soul if you will get down deep into the Word of God. This is a wonderful, wonderful book, and it has an awful lot about this man, Jesus Christ, that we love and that we worship this morning. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 7, and let's look at verse 24 and verse 25. But this man, everybody said, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Two verses we want to look at it here this morning, but I believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and I could be wrong. Whoever wrote it had a deep understanding of the ministry of Jesus Christ and who he was and what he has done for us and what he wants to do for us. And he said, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I want to preach a little bit this morning, minister the Word of God this morning. And if you want to put a title on this, I just wanted to preach about the experience of a lifetime. The experience of a lifetime. Amen. That's what we need when we come to God. We need the experience of a lifetime. It's not a distant memory of when I got saved. It's not something that's way back in the past that I might draw on once in a while. But it was and is the experience of a lifetime. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray together this morning. Let's ask for the help of the Lord as we enter into the Word of God. Father, I thank you for the Word this morning. Thank you for the touch of your Word today in our hearts and our minds. Let it find its mark in the congregation this morning, and help us today. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated this morning if you will help me with the Word of God. Amen. The word uttermost here means full or entire. In other words, when the writer said that he is able to save us to the uttermost, what he was literally saying is that when we find salvation and when we come to God in salvation, he supplies every need that we have. Praise God. There's nothing that is lacking. There is nothing that is falling short when it comes to the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And I believe today that there is no greater experience in life than the experience of salvation. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. I believe that this is the greatest experience that God has for us, is our salvation and then our walk with Him. Praise God. And when you think about the Lord this morning, and we begin to ponder Him just a little bit, a lot of things come up before us that we can look at, and I began to look at it here, and I thought, well, when God does something, he never does it half-heartedly. When God moves, it is not a half move. It's not something that falls short in any way, but when God moves, he does it full-heartedly. And when he does it good. Amen. And whatever he does it to completion. We could look at the creation a little bit. I'm not going to spend any time with that. But he made everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he stopped his work, or he rested, meaning that it was complete, it was finished, and it was all done. God did not start something and then not finish it. Amen. But what God starts, he finishes. Amen. And for you and I, when he came into our life and saved us, he didn't save us just to take us down the road a few miles. Well, praise God. He didn't save us just to take us down the road a little ways and then it dries up and blows away, or it becomes old and it becomes something that we're not excited about anymore. But it is something that will take us to the uttermost. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Do we need to have altar call and then preach? Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, we're talking about something here that's very exciting this morning. Something that is very important that we understand and that we live out in our lives. Amen. The earth was filled with violence, the Bible says, in the book of Genesis. And you can look at the story, how that man had corrupted himself. And there was sin on every hand. We see it in our generation as well. We see very, very similar things in our generation. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood took them all away. Amen. We're living in that generation today where we're not taking time to spend in his presence. Amen. Where we are too busy to live for God, our lives are too complicated to be faithful to the house of God. I'm telling you this morning, we're living in the very same atmosphere and spirit of the day of Genesis chapter 7. Well, praise God. And the Lord here in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4, he speaks to Noah and he says, "For yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." Praise God. And so it was a promise. We'll get going here this morning. But what we've got to understand is that when God gives a promise, God fulfills the promise. Not half-heartedly, but to the uttermost. Now, this is exciting when you talk about living for God, but it is also frightening when we talk about the judgment of God. Amen. Too many today feel like that it really doesn't matter how you live your life, but I'm telling you this morning, it makes a big difference how you live your life. Praise God, because there is judgment as well as there is promise. Amen. And the promise here was that in 7 days I'm going to cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance. Amen. Everything that had the breath of life in it, not the fish, but all of the things that had the breath of life in it perished upon the earth. Mankind and the beast of the field. And the Lord came to Noah and the Lord said, "Build you an ark, amen, to the saving of your house." The book of Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Noah and it says, Noah being moved with fear, built an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. And God gave them that promise. Praise God. The promise of salvation. And so when the flood came upon the earth and the water covered the earth, every single thing, every human being was destroyed on the face of the earth. He did not leave one wicked person on the earth when his salvation came. Amen. He did not leave one little bit of iniquity or wickedness on the earth, But when his salvation came and his judgment came through that salvation or for that salvation, it destroyed everything. Praise God. It is a beautiful picture of our salvation today. Amen. As many people as there were on the face of the earth at that point in time, we have that many different sins on the face of this earth in our time. Praise God. And some have wrongfully looked at this salvation and said, you can't really live for God. You've just got to accept sin. You've got to accept these things. You've got to live with these things. You've got to learn how to live your life with this sin in your life and this situation in your life. You've got to live with this attitude. You've got to live with this concept of God. But I'm telling you this morning that when God saved us, when he brought his salvation to Noah, it was complete. Amen. It was to the uttermost. Amen. It covered everything. It destroyed everything that was evil. It destroyed everything that was not good. There was nothing left. Amen. And when Noah and his family came back down to the earth, they came to a brand new earth. Amen. We're headed in that direction. We really are. And Genesis chapter 7 and verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping thing and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. Praise God. That was not very exciting for the world, was it? But it was very exciting for Noah and his family because they now had a perfect salvation. They came down to a brand new earth. They came down to a place where there was no more sin. They didn't have to listen to the iniquity and the rioting and the violence and all the things that were covering the earth before the flood. Amen. They came to a brand new place. Oh, praise God. And when God saves you and I, he wants to bring us to a brand new place. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. God specializes in completing things. Amen. God specializes in saving us and leading our lives to the uttermost. Amen. In other words, if there's a sin in your life this morning, there is salvation from that sin. Amen. If there's weakness in your life this morning, there is the power of God through salvation. Amen. That will lift you up above your weakness. Amen. If there is a situation that you're battling in your life, and don't feel alone because we all battle situations in our lives. Amen. What we've got to understand is who our God is and what he does. Amen. What God does is he saves to the uttermost. Praise God. And so for Noah and his family, it was the experience of a lifetime. There was nothing like it from then on. There was nothing like it before, and there was nothing like it after. Praise God. Do you feel that way about your salvation this morning? Well, praise the Lord. About half of us. I'm going to reach out to the other half of us here this morning. Amen. What you need is another salvation then. Amen. Where you can find the joy and the peace and the righteousness in that salvation. Praise God. Praise God. Israel was in bondage for 400 years. That's a long time, isn't it? They were in bondage to the Egyptians. The Bible says they had taskmasters. And a taskmaster was someone who carried a whip. And he watched over the people. And if they weren't working hard enough, they got the crack of the whip upon their backs. And they worked hard. They didn't work an 8-hour shift. They worked from, as somebody said one time, from can see to can't see. Amen. And that's how long they worked in the course of a day. And it was not easy work. It was very difficult work. Oh, but I'm telling you, there was a salvation that God was planning for his people. Exodus chapter 3, and verse 7 and 8, and it tells us here. Let's look at it. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I'm just going to stop, and it said, for I know their sorrows. Amen. I want to stop right there, and we'll pick it back up in just a second here. But he said, I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. If you would this morning, you could take in your mind, picture a taskmaster, and then instead of it being a man, a human being with a whip in his hand, you can view it as that sin, amen, that you're battling with in your life. That fear that you're battling with in your life, that doubt that you're battling with in your life. Well, praise God. Whatever it is, that worldliness, that lust, whatever it is that you're battling in your life, you can look at it as a taskmaster because we were made by God to serve something. Amen. We're going to serve ourselves. We're going to serve the world in sin. We're going to serve the devil or we will serve God. Amen. We cannot serve God and mammon, the things of the world, ourself, and all that's accompanied in that. Amen. We cannot do both of them at the same time. Amen. There's got to be a salvation. There's got to be a deliverance. Amen. And so there are many, many taskmasters over many different people. Amen. There are so many, but they're all summed up in the Scripture. And it says that all that is in the world, everything that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world, and the world is going to pass away. I don't want to be a part of something that's going to pass away. Amen. I want something that will save me to the uttermost. I'm not looking for something that'll just make me high for a moment of time. And then it's gone. I'm not looking for something that will get me excited for a little while and then it rusts and it wears out and it's not exciting anymore. I'm not looking for a rusty salvation. I'm not looking for a corrupted salvation. But I'm looking for something that is able to save us to the uttermost. Amen. And if that's what you're looking for this morning, it is available in Jesus Christ. He said, by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, oh, it'll last for a little while, but then it brings sorrow. It brings heartache. It brings all sorts of difficult situations into your lives. Amen. But thank God the people of Israel were praying, and they were calling on God, and God said, I have heard their cry. I have heard them. I've seen the affliction that they are in, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Praise God. I've come down to deliver them. God is a God of salvation. And he didn't say, I've come down to give them a back rub. Amen. And then send them back to the taskmasters. He didn't say, I've come down to bless them with a little bit, and then when they leave my presence, they've got to go back and do what the Egyptians tell them to do. No, but this deliverance that God had was a deliverance to the uttermost. Amen. It was a deliverance that went all the way. It was a deliverance that was complete in every aspect. In every manner of the word, amen. It was totally, completely complete. Amen. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, not in the hand of the Egyptians, but out of the hand of the Egyptians. And then he goes on, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And to the place, and he describes the place where he's going to take them. Praise God. And so salvation is not simply being saved from our sins, But salvation is God bringing us up. Amen. Everybody said up. He brings us up unto a land, a good land, a large land. Praise God. And out of the hand of the Egyptians, praise God, a land flowing with milk and honey. Praise God. I've seen some of the little clips of the volcano there in Hawaii. And my, I saw that flowing river of lava splashing like water, just flowing. Looked like a raging river. Amen. If you could think about the blessings of God, that's it right there. Amen. The flowing of the blessings of God in your life. Amen. It's not just enough to say, I'm saved from my sins by Jesus Christ. Amen. But what we must understand is that He saves us to the uttermost. And that includes salvation, but it also includes our life after salvation. Praise God. He's my healer today. He's my provider today. Amen. Oh, He's got so many good things. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us good things. Somebody said good things. Amen. It's not designed to dry up and blow away. It's not designed to get old hat. Amen. It's not designed to start up here and then end up somewhere down here. Praise God. But He designed this salvation to start here and to go here. Amen. Salvation is wonderful. It is awesome. It is fantastic. It is the experience of a lifetime. Amen. But there's more than salvation. Amen. There's a promised land that's waiting for us. Praise God. I'm telling you what, they needed salvation desperately. You know what, folks? We need salvation desperately. Your co-workers need salvation desperately. Amen. And there's more to it than just coming to an altar somewhere or coming to a place in your life and accepting the Lord as your personal Savior. And then go on and live your life the way you've always lived it and never change anything. Amen. That's not the will of God. The blood of Jesus is much more powerful than that. And there is much more in the hand of God for you and I than that. Amen. He said, if you've got a hole in your clothes, amen, you don't just put a patch on it. Amen. God doesn't put a patch, an old patch, on an old garment. I'm telling you what He does. He gives us a garment of praise. He gives us the garment of righteousness. Praise God. He makes a coat for us, amen, that's brand new. Well, praise the Lord. He put a new song in my mouth. I don't sing those old songs anymore. Come on, somebody. Help the pastor this morning. I'm not singing those old songs anymore. Amen. I'm not sitting around crying about my situation. Amen. I've experienced something that I've never experienced in my whole life. And it's so great, I'll never experience anything greater than that. Amen. Praise God. It was an experience of a lifetime. And so the Lord said, I've seen their sorrows. Well, that's great. He saw us. I've heard their cry. Well, that's great. He heard us. I'm come down to deliver them. Well, there's one thing about saying something, and then there's another thing about doing something. And when God says something, get ready, because He's getting ready to do something. Amen. I'm telling you what, when God does something, He does it right. Amen. They needed salvation, and so the Lord said, kill a lamb. Every family, kill a lamb. And He gave them the description of the lamb, and He said, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of your house, the upper post of your house. And at midnight, the death angel's going to come through the land, and everybody that is not covered by the blood, the firstborn of that family is going to die that night. Amen. And He said in Exodus 12 and 13, He said, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Judgment is coming. Listen, friend, the promise of God is going to come to pass. What we've got to do is we've got to eat the lamb. Amen. The lamb had to be killed. The blood had to be applied upon the doorpost of the house. But thank God for the blood of that innocent lamb that saved every single family, every single family member, amen, when they applied it to their lives. Praise God. It's more than just coming to church, folks. It's more than just saying, I accepted the Lord 50 years ago. Amen. There is a promised land that God has for us. There is a future that God has for us. Amen. And this was an experience of a lifetime. Amen. At midnight, the death angel passed through the land. Oh, there was weeping. There was wailing. There was crying in the land of Egypt. But in the house of Israel, there was rejoicing. Amen. There was happiness. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. There was a joyful exuberance. Amen. They didn't have to say, come on, everybody, let's worship the Lord. Come on, everybody, let's get excited about Jesus. They didn't need a cheerleader. Amen. They didn't need anybody to pump them up into worship. They didn't need a whole lot of fancy music. In fact, they didn't have any music. I'm telling you what they had was an experience of a lifetime. Amen. And it was designed to last for a lifetime. Praise God. 1974, the Lord saved me, filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you today, I love Him. I'm still excited. I'm just as excited. I'm more excited about living for God and going to heaven than I've ever been in my life. You know why? Because when I got the Holy Ghost, it was an experience of a lifetime. Praise God. If it wasn't for you, there's still an altar. And you can find it. Amen. Because it is available to you for whosoever will. Praise God. Let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. It's going to be a token. Amen. And he said, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Amen. Oh my, we can wring our hands about things that are going on. And I'm telling you what, it's crazy what's going on in America. It is absolutely crazy the things that are happening. Amen. The things that are trying to tear down our culture and our nation and our freedoms and all of that. And I'm as caught up in it as you are, but I'll tell you what, every now and then I've just got to come away from that, and I've got to go to a place of prayer. Amen. And if it's not the situation of our country, amen, you may be faced with a situation in your family that you can't change. Amen. You may be faced with a situation in your life that you cannot change. Amen. Don't get tunnel vision with your problems. Well, praise God. Don't get a tunnel vision with your problems, but stop and set it aside for a while. It'll still be there. Amen. It's not going to go away. Some things don't go away. But I'm telling you, we've just got to steal away into that secret place that we heard sung about this morning. Amen. And when we get in that place, praise God, we'll see once again, the plague shall not be upon me to destroy me. Praise God, it's not here to destroy me. No, because I have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. It is a token upon me. Amen. And when God sees the token upon me, He will pass over. Amen. Praise God. And they celebrated the Passover year after year after year until that Lamb of God that John the Baptist saw coming over a hill, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. That's how complete his salvation was. Amen. All the sins of the world are not going to be taken away. But today, if every 7+ billion people that are on this planet, if they came to repentance today, the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ would save every single individual on this planet. That's how powerful, that's how broad, that's how complete. Amen. That's how much God wants to save us to the uttermost. We know that it's not going to happen. We know that the sinners will proliferate and evil men will wax worse and worse in the last days. And it will be like the days of Noah. That's why we have the book of Revelation that tells us of the judgments that are coming upon this world and the judgments that are set for eternity of those that did not live for God and did not accept His salvation. Amen. And here we are this morning. Praise God. Here we are today. You may be struggling with some things, but if you'll just put it on the blood of Jesus Christ, you say, how can I do that? The scripture tells us in Colossians, amen, that when we are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, we put on Christ. It is a token. Amen. It is a token of the blood. It is a mark upon us, if you please, that whenever the devil comes along, are you listening to this morning? That whenever the troubles come along, whenever the circumstances of life come along, and their goal and their dream and their desire is to destroy you, and that your firstborn will die, and that everything will go down in your life, you've got to go back and you've got to look and say again, no, I've got a token upon my home. I've got a token upon my family. And I am not given over to the plague. I'm not given over to the trouble. I'm not given over to my situations. But I have been covered by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. And in the midst of your troubles, you can shout a little bit. Praise God. In the midst of your situation, you can come to the house of God and lift your hands freely and say, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. And nobody can take it away from me. Well, praise God. Praise God. I've got to have an experience that the devil can't talk me out of. I've got to have an experience that sin can't talk me out of. Well, praise God. I've got to have an experience of a lifetime. An experience of a lifetime. Praise God. And it did. It passed over. And that last Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, was slain on the cross. And the blood flowed freely for the salvation of all mankind. But then the Bible says here in Exodus 14 and verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, and you've seen them for 400 years, you shall see them again no more. Forever. Folks, you've got to get this in your heart. I've got to get this in my heart. Sometimes sin seems so big. Sometimes problems seem so big. Sometimes our world seems so big. I was talking to a man that I know, and his wife is from Nigeria. And we were talking about bugs and mosquitoes. I won't even go into the details of how we got off onto that subject. It's not that important this morning. And he said, my wife is from Nigeria, and she slept every night with a mosquito net over her bed because of malaria. I said, oh, she didn't have a house. Yeah, she lived in a house. Did not have windows. Yes, it had windows. But there is a plague there of mosquitoes. And so she covered her bed with the mosquito net, amen, so that she would not be a part of what is going on in her country. Amen. That's what we do as people. We want to get away from the plague. We don't want the plague. Amen. And we don't want to be a part of the trouble and the problems. Is anybody with me on that? I think you're all with me. Amen. I would love to see my troubles pass away today. Amen. But the world is filled with troubles. The cross did not eliminate the troubles of our world. It did not eliminate the vanity of this age or of this time called the earth. Amen. And everybody that's going to live on this earth, we were made subject to vanity. The Bible says we were made this way. Our environment is an environment of vanity. And as long as there is a devil on this earth, and as long as there is a church on this earth, there's going to be troubles, there's going to be conflicts, there's going to be situations that arise. Amen. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Amen. We're just living in that kind of an environment today. Praise God. But he said, stand still, fear not. Somebody said, fear not. Go ahead and say it to yourself, fear not. Amen. We got to say that to ourselves every now and then. Don't be afraid of everything that's around you. Don't be afraid of the situations that you're facing. Amen. Don't sit around and think about the worst thing that could happen. Amen. But let's steal away here this morning for just a little bit. And let's look at what God has to say about the situation. He said, the Egyptians which you have seen, you shall see them again no more forever. He didn't say they were going to be gone. He said they're going to be gone out of your life. Egypt continued on after this situation. Amen. But every soldier, every Egyptian that chased after them after they were ejected from Egypt, every one of them went through the water after Moses stretched out the rod and the water covered them, and there was not one single Egyptian that survived that ordeal. I don't know what it would be like. I have no way of comprehending. It was overwhelming when I saw the ark there in Kentucky. When we come around and I saw that sitting there, it just overwhelmed me. I almost broke into tears. And I know it can't float. It's just an object lesson. But it brought to life to me what Noah went through. And I don't know if I could comprehend standing on the shore of a sea, not being able to see the other side, and all of a sudden there's a roadway right through the water, and we go through there to the other side. Oh, they were singing with tambourines. They were shouting, and they were praising God for His salvation. That's the way it's designed to be. Praise God. It's designed to be so complete and so powerful and so fantastic that we will never forget it as long as we live. Well, praise God. That's the challenge, young people. That's the challenge for those of you that have been raised in the church. That's the challenge right there, to get a hold of God to the point that you can see that road through the water and you walk through there yourself. Amen. And you see the mountains of water on each side. And then you see God deliver you. Do people that are raised in the church need deliverance? Yes, they do. You know why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us face difficulties. We're not here this morning as perfect people. We're here today as people who are in desperate need, amen, of an experience that will last for a lifetime. Amen. Every Egyptian soldier, you could look at them and say, there's a sin, there's adultery, there's fornication, there's uncleanness, there's idolatry, there's wickedness, there's hatred, there's variance, there's emulations, there's wrath, there's strife. Amen. Different levels of them. They're captains over those and all of that. Amen. And they're chasing you. They're coming after you. Oh, friend, if you're going to try to run on your own, you can't run fast enough to get away from sin. You can't run fast enough to get away from the things that are hindering you or trying to take you down. Oh, praise God. We've got to have something that is greater than us, and that's His salvation. Amen. Praise God. Because they came through the water destroyed every single one of them. You say, well, that's just a story. No, they've actually gone and they found chariot wheels under the Red Sea. Amen. That proved chariot wheels all over the place. Amen. Artifacts under the water where they crossed over. Amen. Just letting us to know that when God saves, He saves to the uttermost. Amen. There is an answer for you, and it's God's salvation. Amen. And today we have salvation. I'm hurrying this morning. But Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19. We read Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. But I want to back up just a minute here. I want to take just a little bit of time. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, even though I could. It says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did." This is Hebrews 7 and 19. "By the which we draw nigh unto God." We draw nigh to God because there is a better hope. "The law did not make anything perfect." Now you got to get a hold of this morning. You got to understand that you are not your own Savior. I'm not my own Savior. I can't work myself up into being a good person and therefore be qualified to be a member of the church. Come on now. If all we have here this morning is law, we're in big trouble, because nothing can be made perfect with the law, because nobody can fulfill the law. No one has the ability to do everything exactly right all of the time. Not these young men, not these young ladies, not any of us here this morning. We may all look like we got halos and wings, but it's not that way. Come on now. And folks, if all we depend upon is the law, and God help us, there are some within our ranks, and that's all they focus on is law. Amen. I thank God for the law. The law of the Lord is perfect. If we could follow the law, we would be totally, completely blessed. But we cannot follow the law. We cannot do the law completely all the time. Amen. And this law situation, there are those that have turned their churches into courtrooms. And you show up and you don't look right, you're going to be preached down. And if you don't act right, you're going to be preached down. I'll tell you what it is. It's just the spirit of the law. It's those that are going backwards. Amen. We've got to understand that we cannot fulfill the law. And that doesn't smooth over sin. That doesn't give way to iniquity and sin and all of that. We still have to preach about sin, and we have to name sin. And sin will cause you to be lost forever. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, what we've got to come to an understanding of is that there is a better hope than the law. That's what he said. There is a better hope than the law. And then he goes into the priesthood. And he said they were of the tribe of Levi, and they were appointed as priests, and they would light the candles, and they would put the incense on, and they would eat the shewbread, and they would live holy, and all of that. And he said, but the problem with that was that the priests did not continue, they did not go forward continually. In other words, when they were 50 years old, I've already passed that mark, when they are 50 years old, they had to give up the priest ministry and they became teaching priests at 50. Amen. 50. I'm past that point. I'm past that point, Daryl. Amen. I know it doesn't seem like it, but it does to me. You know what? It wears the priest out to pick up those sacrifices and throw them on the altar. It wore the priest out to carry that plate on his chest with the heavy weight of the children of Israel hanging on his shoulders. Amen. I'm telling you what, today we need to pray for the ministry. And I'm not just talking about me this morning. I covet your prayers. But I'm telling you what, sometimes there's a heavy, heavy weight. Don't depend on me for your salvation. Oh, thank God for the ministry. I thank God for the preaching, the anointed preaching of the Word of God. But I'm telling you what, and without preaching, we cannot be saved, the Bible says. We cannot believe unless we hear. We can't hear without a preacher. And God has ordained that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, there is a higher place than a priest of law. And it was a priest after another order, not the order of Levi. Amen. But he came out of the tribe of Judah, which is praise. But he was made a priest continually after the order of Melchizedek, of which we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Amen. Seeing that we are dull of hearing. So I'm not going to go into Melchizedek here this morning. But Jesus didn't come as a Levite, because if he was a Levite, well, praise God, then he would have to follow the Levitical law. That's what the book of Leviticus is all about, is to the tribe of Levi. It was written to the priests. Do it this way, do it that way, do it this way, do it that way. And it's all down to the fine line. And if you cross the fine line, then you're cut off, you're cast out, and you're no good. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, we've got to fight against this, especially in the area where we're at. We've got to fight against this. Amen. And then you've got the group on the other side that says the law doesn't matter at all. Grace covers it all. We can live any way we want to live. Somewhere we got to get right down in the middle. Amen. Where the rubber meets the road, as they say. It does matter how you live. Amen. But you can't go around if you're trying to live right and say, I'm doing right and you're doing wrong, and so I'm putting you down. Listen, save yourself, the Bible says. Well, praise God. This is a personal salvation. Amen. I'm not going to point my finger at you and say, you didn't pray as much as I did this week, so I'm more spiritual than you. Or I fasted more than you did, so I'm more spiritual than you. Listen, that's just a big game. That's all that is. Can I preach a little bit here this morning? It's just a game. Amen. And it's a critical situation, and it hurts people. Amen. It hurts the new converts. Listen to me here this morning. I didn't plan to go here, but I'm here right now. Amen. It hurts our new converts when people run down the church and say we're not holy enough and we're not good enough and criticizing this, that, and the other. I'm telling you what, my friend, we're all trying to make it to heaven. Amen. We're all trying to get to that glory land. I want to get to the promised land. I don't want to deal with people murmuring in their tents. Amen. I don't want to deal with people that don't believe God and all they believe in is themselves. Amen. I need a Savior this morning. Your pastor needs a Savior this morning. You need a Savior this morning. I've got to have the blood upon my life. Amen. It's not what I do, it's what He did. It's not how good I am, it's how good He is. Amen. His Spirit is in me, not my spirit in Him. I'm not God. He's God. It's not my ideas, it's His ideas. And He was the high priest. And the high priest went in after they had offered that lamb. Isn't it so beautiful? I could go into it this morning. But He was the lamb that was slain. He was the high priest that offered the sacrifice. He was everything. He did it all. And when it comes down to it, it was totally, completely, complete. That's why He said, "It is finished." And the veil was torn from top to bottom, some 4 inches thick and 60 feet high, with unseen hands, ripped in two by the power of God. You know why? Because now it's no longer in my hands to save anybody. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to look at myself in the mirror and make sure everything is perfect. Because if the priest saw a crooked nose, if he had a scar, if he had a bent finger, if he had something that was imperfect, and he walked through that veil into the presence of God, he would be killed immediately. And so it became a human exercise. It became human ability. It became a prideful situation for those, the select few that had the ability to do these things, but they did not have the ability to control their spirit. They could not control their attitude, and pride ruled in their hearts. But thank God there was a high priest that came along, and he was of another order. Praise God. He was the order of Melchizedek, without number of days, without mother or father. Oh, he was a high priest after God himself. The very man that Abraham came and paid tithes to in the Old Testament. A representation, praise God, of God Almighty. Praise the Lord. And so we have Jesus Christ this morning. And then the Bible says that this salvation became so personal. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Oh, yes. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, the prophecy rang through the ages. The day is coming, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And the pressures of the world, the pressures of people that were trying to live for God, the lambs that were slain, all of the priestly duties that had taken place for hundreds and hundreds of years began to press upon Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 until the river became so large and the mountain became so big that it could not hold back anymore. And in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Not halfway there, but it was fully come. Why? Because he was going to save them to the uttermost. Oh, praise God. Somebody ought to help me this morning. That is the experience of a lifetime. Oh, yeah, well, I talked in tongues. Listen, friend, if you don't get a hold of what happened to you when you got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you what, you're going to leave it aside somewhere down the road. But we've got to understand that now it's no longer a priestly salvation. Now it is no longer adherence to the law only. Praise God. But now it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. The one who died on the cross has now filled me with his spirit. And now I'm walking with him and I'm talking with him. Amen. I want to try to help us this morning to see what happened when you were born again of the water and of the spirit. We passed through the water just like Israel did. And Egypt was rolled off of us. Praise God. It was eliminated. It was taken away when we went through the water and we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and 38. Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how we're born again, and we are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Are my problems going away? Listen, all 12 of the disciples except one died a martyr's death. Don't tell me that when they were burned at the stake, that they were stress-free. Don't tell me that when all of the situation began to build up and they were arrested and the trial was made, that when they stood before the trial that they weren't having stress in their life. Don't tell me that they wondered what would happen to their wives and their children. Don't tell me that they didn't think about the financial situation if they were to be killed for their faith in God. Big question marks. Am I doing the right thing? You say, oh, that's not true. It is true. John the Baptist was the greatest man that was ever born of a woman, the Bible says. And when he was arrested and put in jail, he sent his disciples and said, go ask him, is he the Christ or not? There was a big question mark over his head. Am I doing the right thing? Am I going in the right direction? Should I preach this hard? Because he stood before King Herod and he said, you are living with your brother's wife and it's not lawful. It's a sin and God's going to judge you. And it wasn't long after that that worms ate up Herod and he died. Did I preach it too hard? Does your pastor ever think that? Yes, I think that. Did I preach it too hard? Am I being too straight and too narrow on some of these things? I have to go back. I have to go back to the extreme situation of Calvary. And I've got to say, it is important. Come on, folks. Prayer is important. Well, praise God. Living for God is important. Doing the right thing is important. Well, praise God. It's important. Big question mark over it. What was there a question mark over Peter's head when he was hung upside down? The blood began to rush to his head. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? I'm telling you what, he did the right thing. But just because we've got the Holy Ghost today doesn't mean your problems are going away. I'm trying to help somebody here this morning. I don't know who I'm trying to help, but I'm telling you, your problems are not going to go away just because you were born again. We're still in this world. We're still in a body of flesh. And we're going to deal with some things. You might as well make it up in your mind. You're going to deal with some things. But you've got to go to the place where you recognize and go back over and over and over again. My salvation is complete. He will save me to the uttermost. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Oh my, I feel the Lord in this place here this morning. Praise God. Death has passed over me. All my sins were destroyed in the water. I'm now on my way to the promised land called heaven to be with the Lord and to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What the preacher's trying to say this morning is somebody needs to lift up your head. Get your eyes off of the things of this world for a moment. They'll be outside the door waiting for you. Don't worry about that. They'll come around. The devil knows how to come around. Life circumstances know how to come around. Amen. It's just the way it is. Just steal away this morning. Just put it out of your mind this morning and begin to say, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for coming to me. You didn't come to me half-heartedly. You're not going to take away half of my sins. You're not going to eliminate a part of my past. But, Lord, you've eliminated all of my past. And sometimes that is the hardest thing to come to. It is the hardest thing in the world to come to, is to accept that forgiveness. And I think it's because we don't forgive ourselves. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why? And we have to come back to the place of salvation again and remember over and over and over again, I can't do it on my own, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's lift our hands right now. Can we do that? Lord Jesus, we lean on you this morning. We need the touch of the Holy Ghost this morning. We need the power and the presence of God this morning. Work your work in us. Work your will in us. Work your purpose in us, O God. It's not in me, it's not in my power, my talent, nor abilities. God, you always call people that are not qualified. You always call people that are looked down at by the world. You always call those who are sick. This is not a house for well people, this is a house for sick people. We need you desperately, Lord. We need you desperately this morning. We need your salvation. your complete salvation today. And I give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you come this morning? Why don't you come this morning and just present yourself to the Lord again and say, Lord, I'm not going to wrestle with this anymore. I'm not wrestling with my sin anymore. I'm not wrestling with my troubles anymore. Oh, yes, they're going to be there, and I'm going to have to deal with it. But I'm not going to let it bring me down, because I've got a Savior this morning. I've got a Savior that has a better hope for me, a better plan for me than the world has, a better way of living, a better way of thinking, a better hope this morning. Why don't you come this morning? He's just waiting for you to come. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus this morning. We lift you up this morning. We give you thanks. We give you praise this morning for all that you've done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.